Jesus accepts us just like we are, but he does not leave us just like we are. Amen. Amen. Our old man was crucified with him that the body of sin might be done away with. That's a big statement. And that's what the word says. Great mighty things happened at Calvary, and we receive it by faith. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Jesus, Calvary shed blood, his stripes, they are a gift from God, and all we need to do is put our faith in Jesus Christ and his great sacrifice. For by grace, Calvary shed blood, are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Grace, Calvary, shed blood. Are you born again, changed, and transformed by putting your faith in him? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Verse 9, not of works. Well, this is a fabulous passage of Scripture. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. When you're born again, Jesus Christ moves in to change you and make you his workmanship, you and me, to change us from the inside out, to cause us to become the people he wants us to be. For by grace, Calvary, shed blood, are you saved, born again through faith, and faith is our part. And people today are teaching in some places, including here in Knoxville, well, the grace of God has been shed abroad and everybody's saved and going to heaven. No, 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 they left one thing out. For grace are you saved through faith. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And we become his workmanship because he works in us from the inside out. Some believe because God's grace has been shed abroad, as I just said, all men are now saved and can just live any way they want to. It doesn't matter. Well, that's not what the word says. Romans chapter 6, verse 1, Paul says, how many going to go by the word of God? Amen. If you want to make it to heaven, you may want to go by the word of God and not what some of these people are preaching and teaching. Romans 6, 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Here's his answer. God forbid. Okay. And then he goes on to explain why he says that. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Some teach that all Christians can continue to live in sin and they can't help it. But Paul says, God forbid. Some people don't know what the right definition of sin is. Sin is breaking God's law. Sin is rebellion against God. If he tells you to do something, you don't do it. He sees that as sin. Sin is not bumping into somebody and getting smut on you. And the way some people describe sin, well, you can't live sin-free because it's just everywhere. Well, it may be everywhere, but sin is a personal sin, is an act of rebellion. It's saying, I know the Word of God says that, but I'm going to do it anyway. That's what sin really is, especially if we're a born-again believer. We can sin by saying, we're going to do it anyway. Sin is breaking God's law, basically. Romans 6, 6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. Listen to these words. Old man, the old you, the old nature, was crucified with him when you put your faith in Jesus Christ. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Born-again believers are not to be slaves to sin. You can. You have an addiction, stronghold, bondage in your life, even addiction to alcohol, drugs, illicit sex, and all kind of things. But there's power available in the name of Jesus to break that thing off of every one of us. And he's working in us to break those things off of us. Verse 7, for he who has died has been freed from sin. It's kind of hard to explain to some people that you're born again, your spirit man's born again, but you still live in a house of flesh. And that house of flesh still likes stuff it might ought not like. Okay. And that's where you and me and the Holy Spirit come in to mortify the deeds of the body and bring it under control. No perfect people. But on the inside we are. We're righteous before God. In verse 7 it says, "For he who has died has been freed from sin." Anybody here believe the Bible? Well, that's not what our life preacher said. Well, I don't care what your life preacher said. I don't care what this preacher says. I care about what this preacher's reading. "For he who has died has been freed from sin. Not only are our sins blotted out," listen to this, "by the blood, but our old nature has been crucified with him. And his law, the Ten Commandments, is written in our heart. And now by our new nature, we automatically want to do the Ten Commandments. We automatically want to obey him. We do not want to hurt people. We don't lie to people. We don't want to steal from people. We don't commit adultery with God's people. We don't want to do things we don't do things to other people that we do not want done to us. Why? We're changed. We've been reprogrammed like a computer. My favorite example is, if you could take a pig and change its nature to a sheep, it would never get in the mud again and it would never eat slop again. Why? Because the nature's changed. It might slip and fall in the mud, okay? But it won't intentionally get in the mud. When we put our faith in him, the Holy Spirit works his miracles to change and he works his miracles of change and transformation in us. He died. We died to the old nature and are freed from the power of sin if we're truly born again. That doesn't mean you got your flesh under complete control. Romans 6, I've seen some people born again and they still cuss like a sailor. They say, "Lord, help them clean up their mouth." Amen. Can you say amen? And he does. Amen. He won't leave you like you are.
That's
right. Romans 6, 13, "Do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. We are to mortify the desires of the flesh by the Holy Spirit." Now, there's another big problem. People say, "Well, I'm going to turn over a new leaf this year. I'm going to be different." No, you're not. Okay? Unless you trust the Holy Spirit to change you, you're not going to change.
Amen.
How do I know that? Because I'm a human too. Okay? Our spirit man is born again, but our flesh needs to be cleaned up or sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:13, "For if you live according to the dictates of the flesh," if you do everything the flesh wants to do, you're going to be in real trouble. It says, "If you live according to the dictates of the flesh, you will surely die. But if through the power of the Holy Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, the deeds prompted by the body, you shall live forever." Let me read that right. "You will surely die if you live after the dictates of the flesh. But if through the power of the Holy Spirit you are putting to death the evil deeds prompted by the body, you shall live forever." You can't just go on committing adultery and lying and stealing. There has to be a change. And the biggest change of all is love for people. And the Bible says, if you love people, you will do them no harm. And therefore, loving your neighbor as yourself fulfills all the law, because the law is designed to keep us from doing harm to each other. I'll just say it. Good preaching. Okay. If there is a stronghold or addiction in our lives, see, this really should make things really clear to people. You're righteous. You're born again. There is therefore now no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. And yet you may be struggling with an addiction. And you can win, and you must win.
Amen.
If there is a stronghold or addiction in our lives, we can pray until it is broken off of us.
Amen.
We defeat temptation in prayer. If you're really tempted to do something that you know is wrong, you get by yourself and pray that thing off of you.
Amen.
And that I've learned to do that a long time ago. You know, there are no supermen or superwomen. We have to operate in prayer if we're going to win.
Amen.
James chapter 1, verse 14. "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed." So let's look at this a minute. What is sin? What is sin, and how do we get caught up in it? Well, God put this on me. God caused me to fall into this sin to teach me something. No, he didn't. The Bible says God will not tempt. God cannot sin, and he'll not tempt anyone to sin. Amen. James 1:14. As a matter of fact, Satan came to Jesus, and it says the tempter came to Jesus. Satan is the tempter. He came to tempt Jesus. If you're being tempted, it's your flesh and the devil. And you have authority over both. James chapter 1, verse 14, devil, get out of here. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. There's some men that believe if a pretty woman walks by at work and they recognize she's a pretty woman, then they've sinned. Well, I mean, God gave us eyes. Amen. And we can recognize a pretty lady or a good-looking man, but it doesn't mean we lust after them. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we must control the desires of the flesh. Notice it says, when lust hath conceived. I mean, there may be a beautiful lady at work, but you shut that thing down right then and there. You stay as far away from her as you can. You do not go out to lunch with her, just the two of you. You guard yourself.
Right.
Amen. And when lust is conceived, what does that mean? It means when you're attracted so much and you keep thinking on it and on it and on it and on it, and finally you start thinking in here, well, if I have the chance, I will do this thing. As soon as you start thinking like that, it becomes sin. That's what Jesus said that's what Jesus meant when he said, if a man lusts after a woman, it's not just an attraction. It's when you get to the point where you're willing to sin. It's conceived. Is this helping anybody? And I just read it. It's been in your Bible all the time. This is nothing new. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, becomes, oh, if I get a chance, I'll do it. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we must control the desires of the flesh. I mean, like a whole lot better when I'm preaching on faith and healing and deliverance. Fear not, I will eventually get back there. But we need to hear these messages as well. It really explains some things. But desire itself is not sin. If there wasn't any desire between a man and a woman, no one ever get married. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we must control the desires of the flesh and not let them get out of control. And if you feel like you're losing control, pray until you get back in control. But desire itself is not sin. Lust becomes sin when it is conceived in our hearts. It's saying, oh, if I have an opportunity, I'll do it. And I love to use this example. I'm sure I could come up with some others, but I like this one. You know, I lived on a farmer. You know, we actually farmed. We raised nearly everything we ate. And I was the first kid, the first boy, and so I was out there working with Daddy, really. Since I was about 5, 6, 7 years old, I learned to drive a tractor when I was about 11 or 12 and plowed with it. And so we were real true farmers, and there was other farmers around us. And Mr. Carton, he and his brother had his farm joined our farm on the north side. And here's my example. My daddy grew watermelons, and he grew big ones. And they were so big, we grew them on the side of the mountain because we had to roll them off. And so let's just say I go over and walk through Mr. Carton's watermelon patch, and I'm going over to see Johnny. And as I go through the watermelon patch, I see this big watermelon there, and I say, boy, when I come back, I'm going to take that watermelon. It's not mine. It belongs to Mr. Carton. So I go to see Johnny and come back, and the watermelon is gone. Did I sin? Yeah. It conceived. If I have a chance, I'll take that watermelon. I didn't have a chance because Mr. Carton saw me go through and went and got his watermelon. That's not a true story. That's just a parable. That's a Barry parable. But it's a good one. Don't let it get conceived in your heart. It's wrong. It's sin. No. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Romans 8, chapter 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. See, that's why we can say that. It's because we know every little thing's not sin. I'm not under condemnation because I'm born again. And if I do something that's not pleasing the Lord, He'll convict me of it and tell me to stop it. That's different than walking around under condemnation. Condemnation will keep you from getting your prayers answered. You say, well, how could that be? Because when you start to pray, the devil will tell you you're not worthy. You're just a dirty old worm. Just a sinner barely saved by the skin of your teeth. No, devil, I am the very righteous of God because I've been born of the Spirit and washed in the blood. You say, well, you don't always act like it, neither do you. But it's not about acting, it's about having a know-so faith in you. And if it's there, it will affect the way you behave.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. And immediately there'll be some love for people if you're born again. There is therefore now no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. Not perfect, but they're not perfect in our own eyes, but in God's eyes we're perfect because we're washed in the blood. We got to get that. It's by faith. It's not by the way we act. But it will, don't misunderstand, it will affect the way you act. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit, here it is, for the law of the Spirit in Christ, Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. If you're free from the law of sin and death, there is no condemnation. You can let the devil put it on you, but you're not under it. It's the devil putting it on you. If we are free from the law of sin and death, we are not condemned. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son. What does that mean? It means man was too weak in his old nature to be able to control his flesh. So Jesus Christ came, washed us in His blood, and mortified that old flesh, that old nature. And now we're new creations in Christ with the law written in our hearts. And now by our new nature, we crave after the things of God. And when we do sin and rebel against God, if something goes off in the inside of us and we just can't stand it until we repent and make it right. God did for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. Y'all, you getting it now? He took our... this is basic Christianity, but most people don't even know it. I don't know what preachers preach today, but they're sure not preaching the word. He took our sins in His body and died in their place that we might be free. You can find a preacher tickle ears, but if you want to know the Word of God, this is a good place to be. This is my job, teach the Word of God, not to tickle ears. We are set free from the law of sin and death when we put our faith in His shed blood. Faith. For by grace, hello, for by grace are you saved, born again, changed through faith. Putting your faith in the man, Jesus Christ, and in every word He says. If you believe in a person, you're going to believe what they say. John 3:18. He who believes in Him is not condemned. Wow, how plain. Those who put their faith in Jesus Christ are not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Those who practice evil are condemned because they have not put their faith in Jesus Christ. When you truly put your faith completely and totally in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit will begin to change you from the inside out, but it takes total faith in Jesus Christ. Just put your faith in Him and not in works. If we believe in Him, If you believe in him, you are not condemned. So rebuke the spirit of condemnation. Don't let the devil tell you you're just a dirty old worm. I might be in my eyes, and it might be in other people's eyes, but before God, I'm righteous. When I come before the throne of grace, God sees me as righteous because I have the blood of Christ applied to my life. And with God's help, I'm going to clean up. Those who believe are not condemned. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Inasmuch then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Do you get that? Jesus Christ, that's why he had to be human. Because God was looking for a righteous man to die in my place. He couldn't find any. We're all contaminated by sin. So only God could come up with a plan like this. And I know secular humanists say, well, the Christian people just made all this up. No man, no human could even think up something this far out. This is beyond the human mind, that God would send the Spirit of his Son, Jesus Christ, into a body born of a woman. You see, when he was born of a woman, he was the Spirit of God in a human body. And because he was God, 100% God and 100% man, he was a righteous man. And then he took my sin in his body and died in my place. And I'm redeemed. A born again person has been redeemed from the old slave master. He no longer has any control over us because Jesus took on human flesh and died in our place. I was condemned to die, and he died in my place. What a plan. No disciple made that up. Okay. I mean, don't let the devil tell you his lies. Jesus took on human flesh that he might take my sin and die in my place to blot out my sin with his blood. When he blotted out my sin, he destroyed the devil's right to me. Why? Because sin is what opened the door for the curses into the Garden of Eden. Sin opens the door to the devil. And when those sins are blotted out, you can stand and tell the devil, I'm the righteous of God. You're not going to touch me. Back off. And he's got to back off. Submit to God and resist the devil is based on something, and it's based on that. Amen. Submit to God and resist the devil because you're righteous. Amen. And those things that's not pleasing to you and God, pray until you get rid of them. Kill them by the power of the Holy Spirit. Satan has no legal right to touch me. Has no legal right. That's why you see me in the pulpit sometimes. The devil's trying to make me sick. How you do? You just get your hands off me. So you're crazy. Well, I'm healthy crazy. I went to see Dr. Rick last week. He examined me from the top of my head, tips of my toes. And he says, you're totally healthy and well. You only got one problem, and I can't help you with that. I'm not a psychiatrist. Now, you leave my mental issues alone. I like being the way I is. The way I am. 1 John 3:9. No one who is born of God practices sin. Well, that nails it right to the wall. Well, that blows a lot of theology out of the water. Notice what it says, practice. Doesn't say you won't sin. It says you don't live in it. Amen. It's like that sheep that was a pig. Its nature has changed into a sheep. It might slip and fall in the mud, but it's not going to like it. Amen. If you're born again, you're not going to like adultery. Amen. You're not going to feel good about stealing people's stuff. Amen. You're not going to feel good about lying. Because there's something in here. Amen. Well, what is that something in here? Let's look. 1 John 3:9. No one who is born of God practices sin because his seed, the Son of God, abides in him and he cannot sin. It means go on sinning because he is born of God. What does it say? Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. His seed, the Son of God, lives in me. And therefore, I cannot practice sin because he has a fit when I sin. This is not right. You lied to that person, you're going to make it right. You took that. That's not yours. You take it back. Amen. I mean, you're not sure yet, but you think you're glad you came to church. It's not over. No one who is born of God practices sin because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. I'm giving you a lot of scriptures, one on top of the other, but that's the only way I know to really explain it, make it clear. You need to have it all right in front of you. You say, amen. You need to have the whole menu on the table so you can see what you got there. That may not be a good allegory, but anyway. The born-again believer cannot continue in sin because Jesus lives in him, keeping him from practicing sin. By this, the children of God and... pages stuck together. How'd that happen? I love honey. Maybe I've got honey on it. I don't know. Thank you, Jesus. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. You can tell a difference. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God. Practices righteousness. How do you practice righteousness? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. You recognize the fruit of the Spirit. Christians should not be sour lemons. They should be happy and excited about life.
Amen.
Amen. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. There's a lot of people been trying to cast the devil out of me for years because I love having a good time. Lord, get that spirit of jesting out of Barry. You leave that spirit of fun alone. I like having fun. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. That nails it right there. If you do not love people, you have a problem. Doesn't mean you like everybody. It means you love everybody.
Amen.
I guess I'm a little strange because I even like everybody. But I have to recognize some people, their personality is a little different, but there's things to like about them.
Amen.
Can you say amen? Amen? You know, you can find something to like about me. You may not like my sense of humor and clowning around and pulling tricks on people and stuff, but you have to like this tie. You see, love fulfills the law of God. This says we are either the children of God or the children of the devil. Which are you? You can't straddle the fence. Either you're born again or you're not. The children of God practice righteousness. Jesus said we know them by their fruit, by the way they live. And if you're not living to please you and the Lord, change it. Get in a prayer closet and don't come out. You do not have a problem that can until you get it fixed. You do not have a problem that cannot be fixed in prayer. James says, "Show me your faith without your works." Now this is so important. "And I will show you my faith by my works." Well, what in the world does that mean? James chapter 2 verse 18. "But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works.' Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works." In other words, if you're truly born again, you're going to be producing some good works. Jesus said you recognize them by their fruit. If I'm an apple tree, I'm going to have apples. If I'm a born again believer, I'm going to have the fruit of the Spirit. Verse 20, faith without works is dead. There has to be some action. And when people say, "Well, I'm healed." If you really believe you're healed, then you're going to put your pants on and try to do something you didn't do yesterday. If you really believe it in here, faith produces action. Verse 24, you see then that a man is justified by works. That's totally backwards, it sounds like. But no, you got to know what he's saying. He's saying you're not saved by works, but once you're born again by the blood of Christ and the sacrifice of Christ by faith, then Jesus lives in you, producing good works. The apple tree produces apples. Verse 24, you see, my dad had an apple orchard too, so I know apple trees produce apples. We had a peach orchard too, but I never got a peach off of apple tree ever. Why? Because apple trees do not produce peaches. Verse 24, you see then that a man is justified by works. You can look at him and see he's a Christian because he loves people. And he has the fruit of the Spirit in his life. Matter of fact, the first fruit of the Spirit is love. 24, you see then a man is justified by works. Now this is the Bible just like the rest of it. But preachers have a tendency to preach what they were trained to believe in their church and they never studied to see if it's right or wrong. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. If we have faith, it will produce good works and good fruit. Likewise, verse 25, here's an example he gives. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? Verse 26, so faith without works is dead also. Because Rahab believed in God, she protected his servants. Her works proved that she had converted to Judaism in her heart. She was a pagan, but now she has put, and she actually confesses her faith in God. And so, but the way they knew she really had professed faith in God was because she converted and started helping his people. If you love people, that's a pretty good sign. Especially God's people. You're paying attention. So it says her work showed what had happened inside of her. John 10, I got to move on. John 10, 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. You see, true sheep will follow his teachings and live by his word. Verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Verse 29, my Father which gave them me is greater than them than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. No man can pluck me out of his hand, but I must continue to live by faith. The just shall live by faith. No man can pluck me out. But if I do not stay full of the Holy Spirit, stay prayed up, fasted up, churched up, read up, I could become weak and quit. I know a lot of people don't believe that, but it's what the book says. So why play around with your salvation? Stay in church. Stay in prayer, in the prayer closet. Stay in the Word of God. Stay strong. Don't take any chances. Amen. You see, no man can pluck me out, but I can sure quit and walk away. God never took away my free will, and he never will. Endure, it says, to the end. If you sin, repent, get up, and continue to follow him. Don't get discouraged. I'm going to quit. I just can't live. You just go ahead and repent and start over. Don't quit. The just shall live by faith. For 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 15 years? No. It says the just shall live by faith their whole lives through. And it says endure to the end. Faith endures. True faith must endure to the end. Trusting the Lord all the way to heaven. If you sin, repent, and get up and follow him. Why take a chance? 1 Timothy 4:1, the Spirit clearly says, that in the latter times some will abandon, that word is apostate, will apostate the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. That's what it says, black and white. The Spirit clearly says, that in latter times some will depart the faith and abandon deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. some will stop following demons. Will stop following Jesus and follow deceiving spirits. It's written right there in front of you. Make a commitment to endure to the end. Can you say amen? Amen. Well, you're wrong, preacher. You can't apostate. If I'm wrong, no problem. But if you live like the devil and you're wrong, you're going to have a big problem. Amen. And Adrian Rogers, my favorite Baptist preacher, and I grew up Baptist. He's a Baptist, and he wouldn't agree with me on apostasy, I don't think. He's in heaven. He knows the truth now. But I've heard him say many times, if you're born again, it's going to show. You can't practice sin and be born again. So you might say they never were born again, but you cannot say people can practice sin and go to heaven, because the Bible says if you practice these sins and tells you what they are, you will not go to heaven. And I read those last week. I can't read them every Sunday. But when a righteous man, let's look at Ezekiel. What time is it? I believe you can apostate, walk away, but I don't believe you lose your salvation like losing your car keys. I remember, oh God, Jesus helped me get this done. There was a man came to our church that was an alcoholic, got saved, his life changed, he had the fruit of the Spirit, he's the most loving guy you ever met in your life. And I was driving to church one night, and I heard he had been killed. Car hit him and killed him. And as I'm driving to church, I saw him in a vision, and I know it was God. My sheep know my voice. And he was dancing all over heaven, saying, I made it, I made it, I made it. When I got to church, they were talking about him dying and going to hell. I said, well, what are you talking about? Said, well, he was a born-again believer, but he got tempted, got drunk, and walked out in front of a car, and it killed him. He did not go to hell.
Amen.
Why? Because you don't lose your salvation like losing your car keys. You have to apostate. You can turn around and walk away, but you don't lose it.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
And so everybody hates me because I don't agree with anybody. I don't believe you lose your salvation, and I don't believe you can go to heaven practicing sin. I do believe you can apostate and you can turn and walk away because the Bible uses that word two or three times, more than once. Can you say amen? And I'm reading it to you, and you can study it yourself, and you'll discover that, as usual, I'm right. Okay. I'm not trying to be right for right's sake. It's important for us to know these things. If you want to make it to heaven, don't take any chances with your salvation. Stay tight with God. Well, I don't see any need to go to church. I do. Well, I don't see any need to pray and read the Bible. I do. I need to stay strong. And when temptation hits me, I need to be able to put it down.
Amen.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Anyway, so what happened to this man? He was born again. He knew Jesus Christ. He got tempted. He wasn't practicing sin. He quit it. But the devil tempted him, and he gave in one time, and it cost him his life. I'm not recommending sin. I'm just telling you, there's a high price to pay. But if you're born again, stay strong and never turn your back on Jesus Christ, and you'll make it to heaven. There are no perfect people.
Amen.
Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 24, look at this. But when a righteous man turns away, from his righteousness and commits iniquity, hello, and does according to all the abominations that the wicked man does, shall he live? All the righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered because of the unfaithfulness of which he is guilty and the sin which he has committed. Because of them he shall die. You see, this man, this says, if a man turns away from serving God, the righteousness he has done will not be remembered, and because of his sin he shall die. What is that? Apostasy. Jesus said, in the judgment, many will say that they prophesied and cast out devils and performed miracles in my name, but he will say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. That's sin, lawlessness. Could it be he did not remember the righteous because they chose rebellion and apostasy? This says, if you choose rebellion against God, your righteousness will not be remembered. It's amazing how people do not preach the whole Bible. I'm just giving you something to think about, but remember this, endure to the end. Maintain your faith, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Believeth how long? Believeth for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 15 years? No, the righteous shall live by faith the whole life. Don't apostate on your faith. Maintain that faith. If you get caught up in sin, don't just say, well, I'm just going to give up. You better not. Okay. And if I'm wrong, no problem. You're going to make it to heaven anyway. But if I'm right and you practice sin, you can have a real problem on Judgment Day. So you can say, well, he's preaching heresy. Well, it doesn't hurt anything. If a person lives godly and makes it to heaven, that's wonderful. We have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. Matthew 7, 24, 15, And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many, this is why this message is really important today. We live in one of the most evil, wicked days in all of history, and the Lord predicted that for the last days. We are in the last days. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Hebrews 3:12, take care, brethren, that there not be any one of you, that there be not in any one of you any evil, unbelieving heart that falls away. That's apostasy again, that apostates from the living God, a heart of unbelieving. He that believeth. Verse 14, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. Don't take any chance with your soul's salvation. The 2 Thessalonians 2:3, let no one deceive you by any means. Say deceive. Satan's the deceiver. He wants you to think you can live like the devil and go to heaven, but you can't. You may sin like that guy that got killed when he got drunk, but he wasn't practicing. And if he had lived, he would have went right back to serving the Lord. He got tempted. How many of you ever got tempted and did something? It just so happened it cost him his life. And you get tempted and hop in bed with somebody else's wife. You may be a Christian, but her husband may kill you. 2 Thessalonians 2:3, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away, apostasy, a great apostasy comes first. That's part of the sign of the end, is there'll be a great apostasy, people turning away from Christ, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. You see, Paul says in the last days there will be a great apostasy. Many will abandon their faith. I want us to make a commitment today. We ain't giving up no matter what the devil does. Stay true. Live a godly life all the way. Make a commitment to follow him by faith all the way. Hebrews 10:35, therefore do not cast away your confidence. Do not cast away your, and this is talking about salvation confidence. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Yeah. To receive the promised salvation, we must not cast away our faith. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, and this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in the Son. People say, well, won't you have eternal life? How can you lose it? You don't have eternal life. You have eternal life in the Son. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you. If you abide in me, and I abide in you, you bring forth much fruit. If he lives in you, you got eternal life. Make sure he lives in you. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in the Son. Eternal life is in the Son. We must abide in him, and he in us, if we want eternal life. Let's all.